It's always a great privilege to return, to be invited to preach from this historic pulpit, and a particular joy to be invited on this august occasion to celebrate the ministry of my dear friend, Malcolm. Thank you. Thank you. JJ, this could be one of those lying down moments. Let us pray. Great heart who sings, open our ears not only to hear but to understand. Open our eyes not only to see but to behold the mystery of the Word becoming flesh and the flesh becoming spirit. Open our hands to welcome, embrace, affirm, and our hearts to accept. In your great name we pray. Amen. It is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the season of Pentecost. It is the end of the Christian year. Next Sunday, with the beginning of Advent, we begin again our journey to Bethlehem, where for the Christian church it all began and begins again, and where for this great congregation it marks a time of transition in your life. The ending of one chapter, the beginning of another. So it is a good time to reflect on the journey and all that has been. I remember one evening in the springtime of 1970, sitting with Malcolm on the lawn of Victoria University, eating a grape pie that had been made for us by Libby Lautenschlager, the then principal's wife. And as we munched on that pie, wondering how we could combine our love of music and our love of preaching, our call into ministry, never realizing in those halcyon days of Emmanuel College how our friendship would enrich our lives and feed our souls, how the great heart would sing through our little hearts. Je me souviens. Je me souviens. For 8 wonderful years, we were co-chairs of the worship committee of Toronto Conference, creating services for guest speakers such as Peggy Way, Lois Wilson, Morris Boyd, Robert Raines, and others, preparing installation services for numerous conference presidents, years in which we shaped our creativity, deepened our friendship, years in which we grew in grace, even as we nurtured our craft, years in which we followed Robbie Burns from union halls to Scottish pubs, from church basements to hotel ballrooms, from hospitals and nursing homes to Masonic halls and chancel steps. Our lessons today have to do with call. God's call. God's call to Jeremiah and Jesus' call to his disciples. Now, to answer a call is to step into the unknown. It causes a shift in the center of one's being, in the center of one's universe. It moves us from I to thou, as Martin Buber puts it. A revolution as disruptive as the Copernican Revolution was to religion and science. We are cup bearers of grace, hoping always for the best, but recognizing that there are times in life when we have to pour out our very selves and risk leaving the cup empty. And if you think that ministers are out in left field to spend their lives speaking about the invisible faculties of faith and intuition, of grace and guardian angels, of spirit guides and fairy godmothers, brother sun and sister moon, you are correct. But never forget, left field is still part of the ballpark. Frederick Buechner said, faith is not a seamless garment. It's a ragged garment with all of the seams showing and all of the tears showing, clutched about one like a person in a storm. And then he adds, let faith make tea with the demons. Let devotion hear the sirens sing. Let piety read the daily newspapers and serve in the soup kitchens. Do that, and like King Arthur, you will be able to draw the sword out of the rock. To say yes to a call is to bring flesh and form to faith. It is to let the great heart take up residence in our little hearts. It is to discover that the word that became flesh in a Bethlehem stable becomes flesh in us, in the office, in the classroom, in the courthouse, in the hospital, on Queen Street, in Rosedale, wherever we live our lives. It's where our passion lies. We live in an age where preaching in general is at a low ebb, and great preaching is almost a lost art. And for the last 30 years, you have been blessed with one of the best. Not only in Canada, but in North America. And I say that not because Malcolm is my friend, which he is. I say that because as one trained in the art, I recognize a great artist. Malcolm grew up within the ministry of Wes Morris and Franklin Brisbane. Or Franklin Bannister, rather, at Simpson Avenue United Church. Frank Houston was the organist in those days, and Simpson Avenue was known throughout the city as the Gilbert and Sullivan Church. Every year, Simpson Avenue would roll out performances of Pinafore and the Mikado and Pirates of Penzance, much as Met has produced shows such as Joseph, Godspell, the Met Cabaret, or your annual February Follies. It was in the womb of that congregation, of that faith community, that Malcolm grew to love music and the magic of ministry. It was in the womb of that congregation that the call to ministry began to germinate and take shape, that his desire to become a great preacher was formed and reformed like clay upon a potter's wheel in the furnace of congregational ministry, Muskoka Falls, Scotch Colony, Woodbine United, Victoria Village, Trinity St. Paul's, the Met. Great heart, you sing. And I hear the croon of the tender mother's joy that Mary sang under the moon to the homeless boy. Je me souviens. Je me souviens. And there was Kirkridge. Kirkridge, where we were met and taught by such formidable preachers and mentors as Robert Raines, Ernie Campbell, Freddie Craddock, Jimmy Forbes. Kirkridge introduced us to shotgun preaching. Each day after lunch, as we left the lunchroom, we would take a slip of paper from a large bowl that sat by the entrance or exit. And on each slip of paper, there was a different passage of scripture. And we would take those little passages back to our little cabin on the mountainside. And there we would sit with our different passages of scripture for 10 minutes. And then we would preach to one another for 5. Every day, different slip of paper, different passages of scripture. The word entering the mind like breath entering the body. And what came forth was virgin born. Like a child in a manger newly born. Wrapped in the swaddling bands of mind and heart and poetry and metaphor. A world made new. Our world. Our world made new. You sing, and the wind's in the sail, and the hand to the tiller is set. Never a dream shall fail, nor the heart forget. Je me souviens. Did I tell you that he saved my life, physically, spiritually? We were clearing a large culvert from one through which the water ran across a cottage road from the lake on one side to the lake on the other. And we made little headway removing sticks and mud from the lakeside that we were on until we took turns crossing the road and climbing up through the culvert and removing the debris from the other side. On one of my turns up the culvert, like a game of pickup sticks, I removed a stick and the whole dam gave way. And the water rushed through the culvert and down a rock-strewn riverbed to the lake below. I had only time to grab the rim of the culvert. Malcolm grabbed my other arm and held me there for several hours until the water on one side had receded enough for him to pull me out and let me fall beside him on the forest floor like a drowned rat, laughing our heads off together, laughing at our stupidity and the unpredictability of life, but discovering in that moment that whatever would sweep us away or threaten to sweep us away or threaten to overwhelm us, the bond of our friendship was strong and would hold us and abide. Je me souviens. Je me souviens. I remember driving Howie Mills, Malcolm and I driving Howie Mills, then the executive secretary of the general council, to a community of concern meeting in London, Ontario, in 1989. The three of us slipped into the very back row of a packed centennial hall and listened to speaker after speaker after speaker denigrate the United Church of Canada for its 1988 decision. Someone recognized Howie Mills, and the word was passed to the front, and the tenor in the hall shifted and became belligerent and angry. And when the three of us rose to slip out, we did so to the vitriolic cheers and name-calling. On our drive back to Toronto, we were silent for a very long time. But somewhere on that drive between Brantford or between Woodstock and Brantford, Howie Mills broke the silence and said, "Well, boys, we have just experienced what Jesus experienced when he dared to speak to Gentile women or touch an unclean leper in his day." It was for us a sobering moment of experiential learning that moved us from the center to stand with those on the margins of our society and to work for a more inclusive church, a more Christ-like church, a community of grace instead of a community of concern. You sing. And loud in mine ears the deeps resound and rejoice. And my heart too sings as it hears the heart in your voice. I remember that difficult chapter in ministry that was Trinity St. Paul's. The long days of carrying the bucket to the well and coming up dry. Or worse still, carrying the bucket to the well and coming up full only to have it kicked over. The months of confrontation. The months of bewilderment. Of dancing a foxtrot as best one can to the music of a tango. The feet never quite on the beat and never quite in the same place. Je me souviens. And I remember his journey down here to the Met. I remember sitting in my office at Eglinton one morning when Malcolm phoned and said, David, the building just spoke to me." He had yet to be interviewed. He had yet to be called. He had yet to be chosen. But I remember rising from my desk and skipping down the hallway to the sanctuary and dancing around the chancel of Eglinton like the biblical David dancing around the ark. The darkness had lifted and a new day had dawned. Je me souviens. Je me souviens. Moses, who traveled with his people through good times and through dry times, who, in the words of Martin Luther King, had been to the mountaintop and seen the promised land but would never get to the promised land, handed his ministry off to Joshua, who in turn handed it off to Deborah, and so on, until we come to Peter Bryce, who would hand it on to Frank Brisbane, down through Bruce McLeod to Malcolm Sinclair. It is the way of the profession. Je me souviens. We do not know what the next chapter of this great congregation's life will be. We do not know what challenges lie ahead, what hills there are to climb, what deserts there are to cross, but this we know, that the foundation of this congregation, upon which Malcolm has built for the last 30 years, is solid. That the dreams that Malcolm shared, that the song that Malcolm sang will resonate in this place for a long time. Yes, you will go your separate ways. Yes, you will learn a new song with a new minister. Yes, you will reform and move on. But you will remember. You will remember. And when you and I meet on a city street or at some event, we'll be able to greet one another and say, "Je me souviens."